go get high, make sure I have my towel.
What? Towel? What towel for what?
What? Towelie.
What? Towel your door?
Oh my God, this guy. No. Towelie? You want to get high?
Oh. Oh my God.
Oh, whatever. I thought I.
I know. Explain I know.
The joke.
I was thinking,
man.
Mr. Hanky, but that's different.
Mr. Hanky, isn't that? Oh, I was. You're so. Okay, you know what? You're right, and I'm wrong. Mr. Hanky wants to get high, and then Towelie is the towel.
Right. I don't. I mean, maybe Towelie wants to get high. I don't know. Mr. Hanky's.
But aren't they both South Park?
Yeah, they're both South Park. I was out of frame of reference. Okay. I didn't know.
No, but you're right, though. One is Towelie, one is Mr. Hanky.
Mr. Hanky is definitely more famous than Towelie. But I don't know who smokes pot. Do they both smoke pot? Maybe Towelie is the one smoking pot. I don't know. I have to revisit. That's been all like... Right. How long ago is that? That's like 15, 20 years ago, right?
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Happy Friday, Ted. It's episode 123 in... I got you, babe.
You did. You got me some beers.
I did, but that's a premonition for one of our movies.
Ah, okay.
If you can figure it out, I think you can. But yeah, hey, I got you a beer this week, so you have some homebrew.
I have your homebrew.
Yeah.
Straight from the north, the frigid tundra of Central Valley, or Central Coast, right?
What I want to do is, I think Ted's been teasing... trying to get me to tell him what he's going to be drinking, and I kept evading, saying I don't want to give you any hints. Oh, I didn't know what you were getting. So you have the yellow cap?
I have the yellow cap.
All right, let's hold that really quick, and I'll go get the details off the wall. I got to go check in the garage. I will return momentarily.
Okay.
And I've returned. I gave Ted three beers.
Yes.
I want to make sure that of the three beers, he chooses what he wants. He drinks. He gives tasting notes. And then I'm going to tell him what the style is. And I'll give him the ABVs and the IBUs. But I wanted him to tell me what he thinks before I poison the well. So how about we open these suckers?
Don't say poison the well when we're talking about home brews, okay?
That's true. And the other side of it, I'm drinking the exact beer so we can have them together because I want to taste what he's tasting, et cetera, et cetera.
Of course.
Mine on this end is corked and Ted's is capped.
But they're both huge. What are they, 22s?
I guess. Yeah, I guess they're 22s. I mean, so go ahead, open it up. Let's see what you think. Hopefully it's okay. Carbed. I'm sure it's good.
Let's see. Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. You pour yours. I got mine.
I'll pour. You uncork. Should I vigorously pour?
I wouldn't go too crazy. I think it's pretty carbed.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, there we go. That's some homebrew right there.
Wow. It's got tiny bubbles. This is like...
What are you... Who's the Hawaiian singer?
Don Ho.
That's it, yeah.
That's an amazing head for homebrew, right?
Like, dude, look at that thing.
That's phenomenal.
Look at that. I'm going to give some to Clarissa, too, because like otherwise she'll probably divorce me for not giving her homebrew.
Yeah, Frank would happily stop by on Tuesday to give me the three beers. And he said you gave him some too, but he's like,
oh, I gave him the same three. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, oh, this is too, they're too big to drink alone. I was like, next three Friday nights, I'll be drinking these solo. So.
Yeah. And just remember they're homebrew. So the bottom is going to be a little bit soupy. So, you know, a trub and so on. So just don't pour them.
So don't finish it.
You don't want to finish the bottom and also don't shake it around too much. But
right.
Anyway, what are your thoughts? What do you think? This is a beer I made.
So this is like a chocolate stout, but it has like, let me see. It has like a Scotch ale to it, but I know it's not a Scotch. You didn't do a Scotch ale this time around.
No.
Maybe that's a homebrew element, and I'm pulled back to that Scotch ale that I had at your house. we drank off the keg so much, but yeah, it's chocolatey. It's It's like a it's a refreshing for a stout. Like I think all the bubbles and all the carbonation is really, really making it very light, much lighter than
dances on your tongue.
Yeah, it's much lighter than I would expect from, you know, a stout. You know, when you see the color come out, you expect it to be heavy, but then when it foams up and froths like that and you taste it, it stays active. So it's kind of a juxtaposition of what you'd expect.
Okay, so the reason why it's as light as you're saying is because it's not a stout, it's a porter.
Okay.
Okay. It's 7.25% ABV.
Okay.
And it's 50 IBUs.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, so it's right in the middle of the bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not crushing you on the ABVs. And yeah, you're exactly right, is that it's really light on the palate and everything. And that's more of what you would expect from a porter. The only thing I would say is you're probably a little bit less experienced comparing porters to stouts, where porters are
right.
a lot more, or I'm sorry, where stouts are a lot more heavy and everything. The only thing I would say is, while I was brewing this,
mm-hmm.
I get this email for a video. I'll leave the source anonymous. And this video comes across, and it was about 40 minutes, right? So, okay, if you brew beer, generally speaking, it's an hour brew.
Mm-hmm.
And within that hour, there are different times throughout the beer that you add hops, and that's your hop schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this video that was sent to me, and it was more or less this guy who was, it was some Baptist preacher guy or something, and he was talking about this New World Order that was being led by Bill Gates. So I'm like, okay, great, I'll watch this. So as it was as the brew's going on, I had time to kill because I'm just waiting for an hour,
right.
And I would add the hops when at the schedule I needed to. So as I was brewing this porter and watching about the New World Order, I named this beer the New World Porter.
So this is the infamous New World Porter.
What do you think, though? Overall, I mean, what do you think of it, though? Serious. And you won't hurt my feelings.
I know I won't hurt your feelings. But yeah, I was concerned that I was thinking, like, if it was a stout, then, you know, it's kind of too light. But, you can't really fault it because it's not, it's so tasty. So this is my naivete about home brewing. So some stuff you brew in the keg and some stuff you brew in the bottle.
Yeah.
So this is one of your bottle batches. Like all this,
yes,
all this stuff.
I did everything in the bottle with this.
Everything in the bottle with this. So it's all, yeah. And I just, it's magical. You know what I mean?
You're like, how does it get so foamy?
Yeah. It's like, I thought you added like carbonation to it, but this is just.
No, it's all yeast. It's science. It's biology, you know?
Yeah. I don't know why. So why hasn't there been, has there been a run on like beer home brewing and stuff? I think people really just jumped straight into bread making for coronavirus. And I don't know. I thought that I would want to do more beer stuff, but I guess because I want such a wide variety and I don't have a beer drinking partner. Like,
you don't want 5 gallons of beer?
I don't want 5 gallons of beer that I would like, or even, I don't think I even want a gallon of beer. You know, when I have a growler, when I have a 64-ounce growler, I'm like, oh, Frank, come and help me finish this.
I gotta work through this thing. I read this article, a month into quarantine or something like that, or a month and a half into quarantine, and they were talking about how homebrew is on the rise and all these people are discovering homebrew, and talking with Sandy over at Valley Brewers and stuff, and she was saying like they were just going gangbusters, selling grain and, you know, all these recipes and starter kits and for people who are just getting into it and just starting and everything. And I think it was along this, because brewing beer and baking bread are like almost the same thing.
They're cousins. Yeah, they're cousins for sure.
They're very much cousins, yes.
They're yeasty cousins.
The only difference, I think, is once bread is done, you are done. Once beer is done, you have weeks to go. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've been brewing since January 2011. And I don't know what you think, but I think this is a very good beer.
This is a great beer.
Yeah, no, and the only thing I would say is I think or I would encourage anybody to get into home brewing, because I think having the understanding of what it takes to brew and make beer, when you go out to drink beer, you know when beer is really good and when someone's trying to fool you into thinking their beer is really good.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I make beer that's kind of like, meh. It's all drinkable.
Mm-hmm.
But some are like amazing and some are just like, eh, it is what it is.
No, this is a great beer. Like, this is on the verge of amazing. And I think that, like, I'm excited for it to warm. You know, I have the big Carmelite triple glass, and I was going to hold it so my hand can kind of warm it like cognac, you know?
So it expands. Yeah. The flavors. Yeah,
the flavors exactly. All bloom in my hand here.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad you like it, man. So, okay. So with beer talk, I think leads into our week, and you kind of mentioned it about how you got your beer from Frank. So yeah, my in-laws were in this past week, and it was nice having them here, and we haven't been able to see them now for, man, going on like 3 months. And
I know.
And yeah, I mean, I know they really loved seeing the grandkids, you know, Mikey and Timmy and stuff. And so it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And
yeah.
Then Frank helped me build my new grill on Monday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the one I garbage picked a while back.
Uh-huh.
And I rebuilt twice. It needed a third rebuilding. Ugh, and I'm like,
forget
this
it.
Thing's, it's really small. I mean, I don't even know what it is. It's this tiny gas grill.
Mm-hmm.
I rebuilt it twice already and it needs another one. And I'm just like, this thing is so grimy and nasty and small. So for Father's Day and everything, I got a 4-burner with the side, like, stovetop pot burner thing. And
nice, nice.
You know, it wasn't bad. It was like $300 next grill, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and stainless steel. I'll tell you, it went together easy out of the box, and we've cooked on it about 3 or 4 times.
Did you just do Lowe's or something?
Home Depot. Yeah. But yeah, it works fantastic. I turn on the gas, I hit the starter, bam, it fires right up. I mean, it's like, what took me so long?
Like iPhone, just like the iPhone. iPhones and gas grills, what took you so long?
I guess, yeah, exactly. And then, okay, I guess since we're going down my week, I didn't know how we got on my week and not your week first, but it just so happened.
It's all
this
there.
Week.
Yeah.
So you're well aware that Leadville canceled because of COVID-19 and all this stuff. So what they put out this week was 100,000, that's 50 with a 1 in front of it. Elevation gain.
Oh, yeah. You talked about this last week. You showed us you had the bib.
Oh, I did talk about it last week?
Yeah. You talked about it last week.
Oh, well, forget about it. I didn't know I did.
You did. You mentioned it, but you hadn't started yet because it just started.
Well, tomorrow's the day it starts.
Oh, tomorrow's the day it starts. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm probably going to go out and do like 10,000 feet of climbing tomorrow, which is just going to be like, it's going to break my knees or something.
You're driving over to the hill, right? So you don't waste those linear feet.
Yeah. I think the one right behind the house here, Harris Grade, I think I'm going to do that day one just to get a feel. And I'm going to do like hill repeats on that thing. And it's literally like in my backyard. I mean, it's like, I don't know, a mile up the road. And I'm just going to go like up and down, up and down, up and down, you know, and we'll see what happens. But, and if I get bored, I don't know, maybe I'll ride to some other hill and go up and down it. But
I saw Clarissa, she posted her birthday ride on, what was that, Sunday or Saturday? Sunday.
Oh, that was Sunday. Yeah, that was Sunday. And we went out for 65 miles and she was pretty damn wasted.
Frank was like 60 miles. I'll be here at the house watching the kids.
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, Clarissa was a rock star, man. I mean, we went up some steep grades, Cat Canyon, and we went through Foxen Canyon, and anybody mm-hmm. who's familiar with San Inez Valley and where the old Postal Service team used to train and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, the Postal Service, yeah.
Those are all the roads we train on. Yeah, I mean, I am so fortunate to live where we live, and, you know, and treating Clarissa to those same training roads and all the stuff that, all the places I like riding, and we're pro cyclists from Europe train and everything. I mean, like, where we live is just amazing for that. And
that's so cool.
So we went up some steep grades, and there was a few moments where I was just like, in my head, I'm like, oh my God, don't quit. And I was just, I didn't want to like egg her on. I didn't want to like encourage her, but I was trying to be.
You don't want to. Yeah, it's hard.
But I was like walking that tightrope trying to say like, okay, cut across because, you know, like, because the insides of the turns of the switchbacks are really steep. The outsides are more shallow. So I was trying to guide her down that. And there were a few moments where I saw like, oh my God, she's just going to give up. But she never did. And she told me she was never going to give up. And I was just like, man, she was just our total rock star. We got to the top. She ate a ton of food because I could tell she needed it. And then we did that selfie and everything. And yeah, it was great, man. She was... You know, coming back was like, I'm not exaggerating. We had a 10-mile stretch of flat road into a dead headwind, 25 miles an hour wind.
Wow.
It was brutal. So I rode the whole way in the front. She drafted off me, you know, and I just said, all right, just stay on my wheel. I'll just power through it. And we got to the last climb, and she was so wasted, but she made that last climb, and then we bombed down coming home, and oh man, it was awesome. I mean, she was a champion.
Yeah, yeah.
Champion. So how was your week after all that?
My week was good. You know, work is work, but this week I...
It always is.
Yeah, right? This week it was funny because I said, I need to take a day off, and so... I need to take a day off for this honeydew list. So I had a mounting honeydew list, and Frank was over with you guys on last weekend, and I was like,
I heard you had a dishwasher problem.
Yeah, the dishwasher's been out for all of coronavirus, so we've been doing a lot of dishes by hand.
And all of Ann's cooking.
And all
of
Ann's cooking, and every meal is at home, and it's crazy. So...
Ugh.
We took it outside, and the family on Monday or on last weekend, we just started like cleaning out all the hoses and everything. And we're like, maybe we'll find something in the hoses. We'll find like piece of glass when all the YouTube videos. Oh, it all shown.
So what is it, not draining or something?
It wasn't draining. Yeah.
Oh, so you're thinking the hoses might be clogged.
Right. It was draining somewhat,
but
there was always sitting water at the bottom, and they're like, you know, in Bosch's, there's supposed to be a little bit of water, but you're not supposed to be able to see it. So
that's how ours is.
So Frank and I, so first the family and I, we scrub everything, we CLR it, we're scrubbing it like crazy, and lime is just like all over the place.
Oh yeah.
We get every hose taken apart. We have the thing in the driveway, and we're just like, everybody in the family's just got old toothbrushes and just scrubbing away.
So you pulled it out from underneath the cabinet, brought it out to the driveway.
Yeah, we just put it in the driveway and just spread out all the parts and scrubbed everything down. And we knew Frank was away, and we're like, we'll get Frank to help us put it back in, and we'll test it, and we'll do all that stuff. So by the time Frank came back on Tuesday, he handed off the beers because he's like, I don't want to keep them both in my house. I'm going to get confused and drink too many. He didn't say that, but you know, it was nice of him to drop it off early so we could just get it separated. And they took a look, and I was like, and I have a bunch of other stuff. We got a honeydew list where I took Thursday off. Hopefully Thursday works for you. And I took the day off of work, and we did the dishwasher. We started to take apart the oven.
So wait a minute. Yeah. You got Frank involved. Whose honeydew list is it? Jeez. Hey, it's his own house, man, the poor guy.
Well, you know, he's a master at his honeydew list. He's like, oh, if Barbara doesn't see it, she doesn't care. Like,
that's right.
He's got more of his own stuff.
After 55 years of marriage, he's learned how to fool her.
Yeah, he's like, can she see it? If she can't see it, then we don't have to worry about it too much.
Perfect.
So it was the dishwasher, the oven, the ice maker, and a floor steamer.
Wow.
So we had these four kind of big projects. It's not all big, but we had a brand new ice maker, and we put that in there, and it looked like it was working fine. And then the oven, we were like, oh, we'd have to take the whole double oven out, so let's... You know, we started taking parts out of the double oven, but we decided not to do it because one oven works and the bottom oven doesn't. So
you have a top and a bottom.
Yeah. So we're just going to like limp through until we can, you know, get a real repairman and until we care about having two ovens again. So maybe yeah, before Thanksgiving, who knows? And then the floor steamer. So the floor steamer, it's the motherboard. So it's basically just trash.
Yeah.
So Frank's like, oh, if you're going to throw it out, then let me get, take another crack at it. I'll open up the motherboard. He just didn't want to crack into it if we're going to like try to do something else with it.
I got resistors in the garage.
Oh man, I saw the capacitors and the resistors.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going through all of that.
And he'll be like, this one's a little bit swollen. I'll solder it out. I'll solder a new one. If he fixes, that'd be amazing. You know?
But the ice maker, I have like three ice makers for this. And he's like, where's the original ice maker? Because this one wasn't fitting. And I was like, oh, the original ice maker is in my office under my desk. Because I had all three of them and I was trying to get the company that I ordered the replacement with to like figure out why they sent me the wrong one. But he's like, we could just get the old one to work if you could get it. And we've been locked out of our offices for 2 months now. So eventually I'll get back in there, but I go to open it after we thought we fixed it. And the ice compartment is full of water. So obviously
now when you say ice maker, this isn't what goes on your refrigerator.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is. Okay. So it's like whatever's in the door
right.
wasn't working, and so you replaced whatever was in the door.
Yeah, I ordered a new piece for this model of, you know, KitchenAid, and then we put it in there, and it didn't exactly fit. And then Frank, you know, he figured out a different way to make the connectors work, so we got it all to power up. But it's shooting the water out too fast or something, so hopefully I'll get back in. But we did four things. We got one thing fixed. I got up this morning and there's no water in the bottom of the dishwasher. So success.
Nice. And I would say of the four, the dishwasher is probably the most important
thing
because it's a drag hand washing, like especially when you're at home cooking as much as you guys are cooking.
You know it.
We use our dishwasher, I would say on average, 1.5 times a day.
Yeah. No, it's amazing.
I mean, it's if not twice a day, it's at least once. And I mean, I would say on average, it's 1.5 times a day. I mean, it's amazing how you could fill that thing so fast.
Have you ever looked into a gray water system?
Is that where you can take the water and then water your garden with it?
Yeah. Like if you take like sink water, shower water.
I never have.
And yeah, kitchen water. I was like, this stuff, because we had it going into a 5-gallon bucket when we were testing it. And I was,
it's a ton of water.
I was like, it's so much water. But it's probably less than what we would use to wash the dishes by hand, you know, with the water running and all that stuff.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
It's a, you know, it's a mixed boat. But I was thinking, but we already captured it in a 5-gallon tub. What if we just took the 5-gallon tub out every time we did the dishes? Like, instead of having it drain into our sewer, just drain it in this 5-gallon bucket. And then I was thinking, we could take all the water off of this and like put it straight into our trees and our grass and stuff. So I don't know.
My grandfather did that.
Yeah.
And what he did was he did a homemade jobber. He just had, I don't know exactly how he did it, but he had his drain funnel off into 5-gallon buckets. And like he cut his drain in half or something. I mean, these are people from the 1930s, right? Like Depression era people. Resourceful.
Yeah.
And he just cut his drain and he was just like, I just funnel it off into 5-gallon buckets. When it fills, I water my garden. And then I come back, I do more dishes. And whatever, it worked for him.
Yeah.
And then after he passed away, we put the sink all back together. But it was his thing, you know. I would guess there's probably more sustainable, more reasonable. Like if you're going to sell your house, like it's actually a feature.
Yeah, exactly.
Not like something that's broken.
Not like 5-gallon buckets, like right, a cistern right. next to the thing. Anyway, so that was basically my week. And we got a new screen for the projector. So we've been watching movies outside a lot more.
So you got an actual projector screen?
I got a projector, just like a projector screen that it's not like one of those pull screens, but
is it silver?
It's white. It's white and it's a little bit translucent. And the kids were upset. They're like, oh, you could see through it. You could see through it. But at night, that's perfect. It's what you can see through.
I thought you were going to say it was a silver screen.
No, but it's meant so you could rear project it as well. So that's why you can see through it.
Oh, rear project it.
Yeah. So I haven't checked if my projector can switch fields and like.
I was gonna say, can you? Does it? Do you have to switch the mirroring or something? Yeah, otherwise, like everything's backwards.
So we'll see if that works. That might be interesting.
That would be unsettling, though. Next thing you know, you're watching British movies. Why are they driving like Americans? You know, they're on the right side of the road. All right, man. So we have two trailers for tonight.
Yes.
First trailer, Dads.
Dads.
Man, this was hard to watch. I was watching it through tears.
Aw, you were?
Man, it was like, I mean, in a good way, though. In a good way.
And tears of joy.
Oh, tears of, I guess joy, but... I felt content.
I thought when I saw this trailer, you know, and post this trailer for us and in our little chat.
Oh, I love it.
And she shared that with us. But when I watched this, I watched part of it because it's out now, you know, on Apple TV, I think. And I really thought of you because, you know, you've been like
home all this time, Mr. Mom.
I don't like the term so much. You've been doing Mr. Momming it, you know, and with the boys and stuff.
Well, and it's also timely because we just got done watching Mandalorian Gallery.
Oh, yeah. Whatever that
is.
Exactly.
Or Disney Gallery Mandalorian, whatever it is. And
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Did an episode on there, and she was featured in their little roundtable discussion, right. And she's the one who directed this, mm-hmm. And she talks about her dad, Ron Howard, and then brings in a bunch of celebrities,
right,
along with, like, everyday kind of dads.
Of course.
Which I think you have to do, and having celebrities, you know, I mean, and that's fine, you know, Jimmy Kimmel and all that kind of stuff, and
Will Smith.
But I think having like everyday regular dads too, I mean, if you don't have those guys like me and you, mm-hmm. I think you miss something.
Oh,
you know?
Definitely.
And I think she had a good balance, at least the trailer indicates a good balance of it. And when there's a little kid who had like the holes in his heart and everything, oh my God, man, talk about tugging at your heartstrings. And yeah, I remember when Mikey was 30 days old and he was having surgery for his pyloric stenosis, you know, and we spent, at 30 days old, we spent 10 days in the hospital with them, sleeping on sofas and on, you know, it sucked.
Yes.
Let me put it that way. It sucked for the first 30 days of a little guy's life. And like for a week, the poor kid couldn't eat and such, and they're doing surgery on his stomach. And you're just like, it was awful.
Yeah.
You know, And you know, Clarissa stayed at the hospital and she was at a cottage in Santa Barbara. And I would make like daily, maybe not daily, but at least every other daily runs mm-hmm. back and forth to the house to get, you know, fresh clothes and to change things out. And I'm making that drive. And yeah, it sucked, man. Ugh. You know, like, but yeah, watching this though, I mean, I don't know. Do you remember when Anne told you she was pregnant? Do you remember like that moment?
You know, I saw that, and they'd have these videos of the women like videotaping their husbands as they're getting the pregnancy tests and things like that. But you know, I don't. I don't. I'm a bad dad, I guess. I don't remember that as vividly as I remember naming the children and like trying to come up with the names in there when she was pregnant. And yeah, just it was such a long haul getting pregnant. So we were trying for a while. But I guess we were told it's normal. I think we're trying like over a year.
Oh wow, that long, huh?
It was either 8 months or a year. But with Bryce it was much faster. It was great. So
no, I remember I came home from work and I had my computer at the edge of the kitchen table. Uh-huh. At the head of the table, whatever, and I come walking in the house from work, and she has the pregnancy test, you know, like
right.
The little pee stick or whatever, and it's sitting in the wrapper on top of the, it was a laptop, on top of the computer.
Right.
And I kept walking in, hey, baby, what's up? You know, and she's kind of like, you know, the lower lip is quivering.
Oh, no.
And she's kind of like,
you know, she's all, she can't even get the words out.
I said, she goes, look on top of the computer. And I looked and I saw the plus sign, of course, right?
Uh-huh.
Totally ecstatic, totally happy, you know, and she's there crying. And I said, I just asked her, I said, why are you crying? She goes, I thought you'd be mad. And I said, why would I be mad? This is what we've been trying to do. Like, you know, and I get it, right? It's like, it's whatever emotions or whatever are flowing because, like, you learned you're pregnant. And I was like, no way am I mad. You know, of course, I gave her a big hug and all this stuff. And it was fantastic, you know? I hate to say it, but I don't remember when she told me she was pregnant with Mikey. You know, it may have been something like, oh, I'm pregnant again. You are great, you know, but like, I think the first time, and it's not that one kid's more special than the
definitely
other.
Not.
I think it's like out of the blue, like, you know, whatever it is, you go like 30 years not being pregnant. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. You know, on her side of it, I go 41 years not having a kid. So, of course, you know, and then the second one's like, OK, hey, we're good. We tried again and it worked. And when Jimmy Kimmel in the beginning, it said, oh, my God, it worked.
Right. Exactly.
I remember thinking that exact thing like, holy shit, they could swim.
That was an overwhelming feeling for me, too. Like I had a good couple of months where I was dangerous walking down the street because I would just look at people and be like, hey, you need being impregnated? I can do that. I've actually done that. Yeah.
it works. I have seen. You know? No, but like, yeah, it's pretty. I mean, don't get me wrong. Trillions of people throughout history have done what we have done. Impregnated women, right? But like when you do it, though, it's like, wow, it's weird. Like, you know, it happens, you know, it can happen. And I can actually do this thing like, huh, I know I'm in my 40s. Never happened before. So I guess it works. Maybe I just wasn't trying hard enough.
One of my favorite stories about like how normal this is was our first OBGYN appointment. Well, our first, you know, pregnant OBGYN appointment where I had to start going with her and stuff. And Anne, of course, has read up on all the things that should be happening. And like, so she's about a month into the pregnancy and we go to...
And you're doing the ultrasound and all that. Yeah. And then you see the little nugget in there, the little gummy bear, right?
And she has all these questions and she's like peppering the OBGYN with the questions. And he goes, okay, what you've done is very special, but have you ever been to a rock concert? Have you ever been? And we were like, okay, yeah, this is a great, whatever your analogy is, going to be great. So
I love it.
Yeah. Yes, we've been to a rock concert. What about it? How is this like pregnancy? He goes, well, when you're at a rock concert, you kind of look around and you see there's like, you know, it's like U2 or something, and you have like 8,000 people or 10,000 people in the stadium, right? And we're like, okay, right, yeah. All those people were born. Everything is going to be fine. Stop freaking out.
Right.
You know, you're going to be fine too. You know what I mean? So he was just like trying to calm us with Anne and her laundry list of like, here are all the things that could go wrong. And I was like, no, don't put that down, baby. Stop reading the internet. And that was his thing. Stop reading the internet.
And I could completely understand it. We had our kids at home, so we didn't even go to the hospital or anything.
Do you have a doula? Did you have a doula or something?
Yeah, we had midwife, doula, you know, and actually we had one of each.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so there were two women for both. The midwife was also a nurse practitioner, and then she had like her doula assistant, doula assistant, I guess. And... the funny thing is, though, so we're sitting there thinking like, huh, what's this going to play out like? And so they would come and have these little, like, I hate to say classes, but little like consultative things. And they would be like, you know, just draw what you think's going to happen. And, you know, here's a crayon or something, right? And I'm like, do you have a red one? And I'm drawing blood like as if it's The Shining. The blood pouring down the hallway. Right. You know, like, and I mean, just as from a guy's perspective, and Clarissa is drawing rainbows and butterflies, you know, and I mean, it was pretty funny, our perspectives. But yeah, I mean, you know, overall, I think, I know it's on Apple. I guess we should say that it's on Apple.
Apple TV Plus.
Apple TV Plus. And at some point, I'll probably get the ability to watch this. I'm not going to subscribe to Apple for this. Do you know how people get it on Apple versus Amazon versus Netflix? I mean, are these just contracts people sign, or how does it get where it is?
You mean the deals for the creators?
Why is this on Apple TV Plus and not on Netflix or any other platform?
Yeah, it's just, it is literally the relationships that the creators have with the networks per se. So basically, you know, somebody at Apple says, all right, we're going to start providing content. So we're going to do Apple TV Plus, and we're going to need a production arm. So our production studio executives are going to go out to creators, producers, Spielberg, Ronald D. Moore, Bryce Dallas Howard, and you guys are going to make stuff, and we'll put it on air, and we'll consult with you about how you're producing the shows that you're producing. You know, each with those names that I mentioned, they're a little more hands-off, M. Night Shyamalan, you know what I mean? They're going to kind of let them produce whatever they're going to produce and then just air it. What's more interesting to me is the fact that in a couple of weeks, they're going to have Greyhound. So Greyhound is that submarine movie It's the battleship movie with Tom Hanks. That was supposed to be in theaters.
We covered that.
And next, you know, July 7th, it's going to be on Apple TV Plus. So that's interesting to me, where they had a deal and they kind of scrapped the deal for the theaters, and Apple TV Plus paid, I'm sure, a boatload of money to just take the next Tom Hanks movie, and we'll just put it on our platform and just own it.
Well, they're probably thinking, like, how do we get Apple TV Plus to grow? We need Tom Hanks. So you're thinking that, like, this Bryce Dallas Howard one, you're thinking that they made the relationship before filming began, or as it's going, they sold it to him, or how do you think all that played out?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the variety of stuff. I know for both for Ronald D. Moore and for Spielberg, those are deals that were made before they even had anything. So it's basically the next thing you're going to do, the next project you want to do, we're willing to just front the money. You go and do, you know, you tell Spielberg, like, Spielberg, we just give you a pile of money and you can just go do whatever it is that you want to do. And we own that.
Well, like we said last week, I mean, he's like a promise. Right. He's like a promise that's made. You know, the guy knows how to make movies.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
yeah. And Bryce Dallas Howard, this is an extremely personal story for her. You know, her brother was having a baby, so she's going to be an aunt. And then she had all this footage. It's amazing how much footage she had of her birth and stuff. So it's really cool to see Ron Howard talking about what he's going to name his daughter at the hospital while she's being born. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. And I watched some interviews of her after watching this trailer.
Uh-huh.
And she just get laid into like how she filmed it and what her reasoning was behind it and getting it going and everything. And yeah, it was really cool because she wants to tell the story of dads. And I think all too often dads get ignored for some reason.
Right.
Or it's expected that they ought to be dads. But then how many dads are absent? I mean, how many moms raise kids without the kid's father around and stuff?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so I mean, I think her making this is just, I mean, I think it's awesome. I can't wait to watch it. I don't know when I'm going to watch it, but I definitely want to, and mm-hmm. I plan to, and somewhere along the way I'm going to.
So but. if you ever come down to visit us, we can put it up on the projector and you can watch it.
All right, if it's on the projector, I'm going to need a box of tissues. So. All right, so Ted.
Yes, sir.
As I mentioned earlier, I got you, babe. Do you get the idea of Groundhog Day?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay, so let's first say what we're talking about. So Palm Springs. Yeah, Palm Springs. A new neon that's dabbling in television? I mean, they didn't usually do television.
Yeah, I think, but this is a movie, so it's still neon, and it's on Hulu, which makes you think it's a series,
but
it's actually just
you.
A movie. And this is like one of those things that, you know, is getting serious critical acclaim. And it's kind of, it, you know, as far as the talent that's in it, you don't think it's going to be as heartfelt as I think that it is or it's going to be.
Oh, I got the idea it's going to be heartfelt.
Yeah. So I think some people, if you look at the cast
in a millennial sort of way,
if you look at the cast, you think they're not going to have the depth of emotions and feelings, but I think it will surprise us or not surprise us. It will at least be heartfelt. So I'm really looking forward to this. I'm glad I have Hulu.
Yeah, me too. I like this. The only thing I'm not sure about is I think with Groundhog Day, Bill Murray was trying to, or maybe not trying to, he needed to create the perfect day before he was let out of his trap. I don't get the sense that they're trying to create the perfect day. I think, I don't know what they're getting at. It's just the same day over and over again. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think in Groundhog Day, he kind of goes through stages of grief dealing with how he's dealing with all of this. Cause he has that suicidal phase where he just spends like weeks on end, just killing himself over and over and over again, you know?
And then, right. And they do that in this.
But in this, it feels more nihilistic. You know, it feels more like it's the end all be all. But I think that's just because it's the trailer and because that's like the funny parts, you know? You're not going to get to the heart, the emotion of the thing until you actually watch the movie. So, that's my hope at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, I mean, it looks funny. It looks...
And you have Hulu now, so you're good.
We have Hulu.
You're going to see this without commercials. I'm going to see it with commercials, so that'll be different.
Wait, they're going to have it with commercials?
Yeah, I have the commercial version. I have the commercial version of Hulu, and you have the ad-free version of Hulu. So,
so what would it take you to get the ad-free version other than like $3 a month more?
Well, I don't want to go through the rigmarole you went through. So.
Oh, God, that was a nightmare.
But I don't know. I don't mind it. We watched a movie last night on the big screen outside, and we went to clean up afterwards. And I was like, leave it up. I'm going to watch something by myself out here. You know,
I'm going to watch Devs all over again.
I was going to watch that one episode of Devs that I wanted to see. And I went out there.
Episode four.
And then, thank you. And then I went out there and I was scrubbing through and I actually watched something else. Solar Opposites. But I guess we'll get into that when we do what we're watching. But yeah, so Palm Springs, you know, I love the idea that both of them are on this journey together. I think it's a dimension that was kind of missing in Groundhog Day. And then Edge of Tomorrow, it had a similar aspect to it, but it didn't really let... Like Tom Cruise was in on it. Have you seen that movie? You've seen it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, when you said Edge of Tomorrow, I was like, wait, what was the other title?
The other title is Live, Die, Repeat.
Live, Die, Repeat.
Live, Die, Repeat. Yeah. So much better. But he didn't really let Emily Blunt in on the whole, she wasn't clued in on the repeating of the day.
Oh, and I don't know her name off the top of my head. In Groundhog Day, she wasn't clued in either.
Yeah, Andy McDowell was not.
Andy McDowell was
not clued in on it either. So that's why I think this is a nicer thing where both of them are in on it. Both of them know what's going on. And they just kind of are together. They're alone together. It's like it's gonna be texture that we've never seen in this space before.
Yeah, it looks great. I can't wait to watch it. I have nothing more to say other than what are you watching?
All right. So this week we watched a lot of stuff, but the thing that we watched the most, and we've kind of. I want to say we binged it, but we really haven't. We just have been like very steadily watching Somebody Feed Phil. And I know we talked about it last week. So there's a great episode of Somebody Feeds Phil where they're in Lisbon and in Portugal. And he finds this little immigrant community where they have a bunch of different Italian food shops. So he ends up having like pizza and like all these Italian.
So it's an Italian neighborhood in Portugal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he has like bratwurst in one shop, pizza in another shop, and then like gelato in another shop. So these three shops are all close to each other and they all walk, you know, around then. And he basically says, immigrants are great, you know, immigrants make this country great or whatever and make our country great too. So Anne took a screenshot of that.
Oh, I saw that. Okay.
And then she posted to Instagram and she was looking at it the next day. She was like, oh, wow, this is really getting a lot more likes than normal. Like it's really like trending for her, you know? And then we saw, she looked down the list and there's Phil. Phil liked it. So she's like, oh, look, Phil liked my post. I was like, he probably looked at your food and he was like, oh, we can eat over at the Willets.
Gelato.
And then my daughter got That's a hold amazing. Of it and she was like, let me check. And so she did a little more cyber stalking. She goes, oh, look, he doesn't like everybody's stuff. Like you look at all of the people that mentioned Phil and then you can see whether Phil has liked it or not. And I was like, okay, great. Yes. She's a step above.
That's too, you know, funny.
So we watched a lot of that. And then we watched the Willoughbys again for our outdoor viewing of the family movie night. So another.
Willoughbys is classic, a modern classic. Yeah.
Modern classic. We've seen it like four times. It's amazing. What else? I think that's about. Oh yeah, and then Solar Opposites. Solar Opposites is on Hulu. It's a new, you know, comedy sitcom, animated comedy sitcom.
Solar Opposites?
It's a redundancy comedy sitcom. I just realized your beer is hitting me really nicely.
Good. It's so
Solar, Solar Opposites is a sitcom about an alien family who crash lands on Earth. And basically they spend a lot of time trying to get off of Earth, but you know, they go to high school and they kind of have a normal life. And it's by the creators of Rick and Morty. It's kind of weird to hear like Rick and Morty's voices out of these aliens and stuff because it's exact same voice artists, you know, the creators. So that's kind of weird. But once you get over that, it's the same humor. It's the same stuff. It's just a different packaging and it's on Hulu. So it's like, it's just like watching Rick and Morty, except it's expanded. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I got you.
So I don't know. I'm a big fan.
All right. Enjoyable. I can't wait to watch.
How about you?
Space Force. So we watched Space Force. I would say it's chuckle funny.
Yeah.
But man, it is terrible. You know, like you watch and you chuckle and you're like, ha, yeah, I get it. You know, and it is terrible. It is bad television.
You're not a fan.
You know, the main thing I would say is because it's current, mm-hmm. you're going to watch and everything. I would say 10 years from now with that show, you know, you're going to be cruising through and you're going to come upon that. And you're going to be like, what the heck were they thinking? This is awful. So yeah, Space Force is pretty bad. I mean, the funny parts that we reviewed when we reviewed it, they're funny. You know, the Beach Boys singing.
Yeah,
it's not very good. The show kind of sucks.
I thought the first two episodes kind of were the whole thing. Like, I think it kind of
from what the trailer showed,
and then also. Like the whole pet, the whole animals in space thing, to me, that was hilarious. And I don't know if that was the first episode.
With the monkey?
Yeah, the monkey and the dog.
Yeah, or the chimp, I guess. Yeah.
The chimp and the dog. And it was just like, to me, that stuff was hilarious.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the first two episodes were it. And then they took the familial issues and things like that. And then they didn't fully explore them. I think they could have done so much more with their daughter and the...
Well, and that's exactly right.
Yeah, everything was superficial.
It's chuckle funny, but it doesn't go anywhere.
And I said to Anne the whole time was like, why is the wife in jail? Like, answer the question.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. That's exactly what I want to know. Oh,
they're saving it for the end. They're saving it for the finale. And then they don't even tell you then. And I was
like, they never get there.
That's such a wasted, you know, I've taught my children about Chekhov's gun. Have you heard of Chekhov's gun?
Yes.
So my children are very versed in this, that when they see something and it feels like it's disconnected, they're like, oh, daddy, we're going to see that later because, you know, nothing's wasted in movies. You know, correct. You can't waste it. And this is such a wasted kind of thing where it's like sloppy.
They spend 20 minutes on the wife in jail with the on the other side of the glass, and she's saying, I'm gonna be in here a long time, and they never got to it, and you're thinking, and just exactly what you said, they're gonna get to it in the last episode. It's gonna be a bomb, it's gonna hit.
We'll be on the floor laughing.
We're gonna be like hysterical laughter. And I'm like thinking to myself, last episode, here we go. Wait, why is she in jail again? it was whatever. We don't need to go down that. What We Do in the Shadows. I know I said we finished it last week, but me and Clarissa were just talking about the show and COVID-19 and all the coronavirus and all this kind of stuff. And we thought, you know, how great would it be if what we, and this has nothing to do with what we're watching, but sort of is, but they go places and everywhere they go, they have to get their temperature checked, but they're like room temperature because they're vampires. And we're thinking like, that's, I mean, it would only be good for one episode, but that would be so like, you got to watch the show, obviously, but it would be so funny that vampires like can't function in society because they keep turning up cold.
Well, it was so, I was last night when I was after I had put all the kids to bed and went back outside to watch, I was going to watch the Devs episode 4 and I was like, oh, it's a little heavy. Let me not, you know, I don't want to do that. And then I was going to watch What We Do in the Shadows, but I was alone outside in my backyard. So I was like, I don't want to spook myself. And I'm like, it's probably not even scary. It's probably just like funny. But I was like, but I could still get spooked.
Yeah, and that was the last one we watched, too, is we watched two more episodes of Devs. And it was funny, by the end of the third episode, you know, the credits roll, and you see Nick Offerman. And I was like, oh, my. I don't know how I missed it the first. I'm like, oh, my God, that is Nick Offerman.
Ron Swanson. Like,
who's that? I said, the guy with the long-haired beard.
He's Ron Swanson. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just like, I can't believe, like, I just now picked up on that three episodes in.
I think that's the beauty of what, you know, if you're going to cast somebody like that, like Offerman, and he's so distinguishable, and so clearly Ron Swanson, then you do what you did to him in Devs. You give him a beard and you give him that long straight hair and you just like, you just break people from it.
And I knew it was him, but like, I just did, for some reason, I didn't connect the dots.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. It's good casting and it's good, you know, good makeup and hair and all that stuff.
But I think, you know, I guess right now we're about to start. Well, the next episode will be the fourth one that you were talking about, the droning going on and on when Anne was listening and so on. And it's still a little slow, but it's okay. I mean, it's still good. I'm getting the idea that they're trying to make a time machine.
So you've seen Jesus Christ on the cross now by the third episode.
Yeah, Jesus on the cross, and then he goes back later and he watches his daughter in the room blowing bubbles. But like the resolution is really bad. It's very pixelated, black and white, monochrome.
Do you know what's happened to his daughter? You've already know what's happened to his daughter and his wife, right?
I don't think so, no.
Oh, okay,
so
all right.
They may not have said so. But, well, I obviously picked up on that she's dead.
Because there's a 40-foot statue in the woods of her, you know? The totally creepiest statue in NorCal.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, so far, I mean, I know you were just like, it's the greatest moment in television, Devs. So far, I would say it's adequate. I mean, I enjoy it. I wouldn't say it's amazing, but I might feel different at the end. We'll find out.
And as far as what you do when you watch, you're only drinking, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm not smoking weed or anything. Should I?
For episode 4, I would suggest a little.
I mean, I have some weed in the garage.
Just a little bit for episode 4 with that droning scene is will be amplified.
So what you're saying is put the boys down, go in the backyard, toke up.
Watch episode 4.
And then find my way in, hit play, have it queued up so I don't have to do too much work.
Pushing. Yes, right, exactly.
Exactly. All right, so go get high, make sure I have my towel.
What? Towel? What towel for what?
What? Towelie.
What? Towel your door?
Oh my God, this guy. No. Towley, you want to get high?
Oh, my God.
Oh, whatever. I thought I.
I know. Explain
the joke.
I was thinking,
man.
Mr. Hankey, but that's different.
Mr. Hankey, isn't that? Oh, I was. You're so. Okay, you know what? You're right, and I'm wrong. Mr. Hankey wants to get high, and then Towley is the towel.
Right. I don't. I mean, maybe Towley wants to get high. I don't know. Mr. Hankey's.
But aren't they both South Park?
Yeah, they're both South Park. I just wasn't. I was out of frame of reference. Okay. I didn't know.
No, but you're right, though. One is Towley, one is Mr. Hankey.
Mr. Hankey is definitely more famous than Towley. But I don't know who smokes pot. Do they both smoke pot? Maybe Towley is the one smoking pot. I don't know. I have to revisit. How long ago was that? That's like 15, 20 years ago, right?
Maybe. It's been a long time. But you know what, though? I think you're right, though. So maybe what we'll do is we'll go toke up for a couple of hits, and then we'll go watch episode 4.
Awesome. Tell me what day that is, and I'll watch it, too.
So are you saying that Devs is, like, psychedelic?
Episode 4 is. Because of the droning, because of the audio-visual pace and cadence of the film that is that film, that's part of it. Yeah,
so maybe tomorrow night then.
There you go. Okay. Another thing we watched that I forgot to mention, now that we're talking about filmic stuff, Hugo. Have you remember the movie Hugo?
Hugo,
that's an old Martin Scorsese movie for kids.
I don't know about Hugo.
So Martin Scorsese did a movie called Hugo, and it's basically about a boy who an orphan who grows up in the clock towers of the Parisian train station. So basically he sets all the clocks in the Parisian train station, and his father was Jude Law, but his father passed away, and he leaves his son.
Is this animated?
No, it's live action. But he leaves his son a automaton, which is like a robot, but it's from the turn of the century. So this is like a 1900 robot or 1920s or something like that. I don't know. Olden times. And basically it's a movie about early filmmaking. So it's really Martin Scorsese's love story about early filmmaking. So the Lumiere brothers and Méliès.
Oh, I'll have to check it out. And do you know where we could get it? Like, is it streaming on something?
Or? Yeah, we watched it on Netflix, I think. So it's super, super simple. We watched that, and it was so great. Like, Bryce loved it. Just very touching story. And as it ended, I was like, all right, Martin Scorsese. Bryce, you like Martin Scorsese? Next up, Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
And Anne looked at me, and she was like, no. And I was like, obviously, I'm joking,
I'm joking for 2 more years. Yeah. Dude, I can't wait. I can't wait. I know, man. That's what I'm waiting for, like, the boys, man. Goodfellas, you know. Scorsese. Well, no, he also did Taxi Driver.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one.
So did I ever tell you that story?
No, which one?
So I had this philosophy class, and it was like filled.
Okay, yeah.
201 or something. I don't even know what the hell the class was. And it was like philosophy and art or something. Just started dating Clarissa. We're dating like months. And so the assignment was take a movie. And he had this list of movies.
Right.
And it was like hundreds of movies. You know, you could pick anything. So I was like, I'm going to pick Taxi Driver. And you could add, or you had to use 2 mm-hmm. philosophers to describe and explain the movie, and a third philosopher to describe the art. So I think I picked like Immanuel Kant was one. And then for art, it was Frank Zappa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I picked Frank Zappa, you know, and you just have to, and then you had to give like a 20-minute present, or maybe it was 15 mm-hmm. or something, minute presentation on your critique of the movie using these philosophers. The funny thing is, I never saw Taxi Driver up to this point in my life. Classic movie. I've seen parts of it, of course. And so, you know, I'm dating Clarissa like months. I said, hey, come on over. I had this movie I need to watch for school. And I picked this movie for this project, you know, and we're going to watch it. And I have to put these philosophers to it. And we have to do 2 movies. One was that. The other one was Run, Lola, Run, if you've ever seen that one.
Yeah, it's good.
So anyway, we watch Taxi Driver, and like it just gets darker and darker and darker and darker. And you know, towards the end, they have like the shootout in the apartment building, and I mean, it just gets like totally gruesome, and he just gets like insane. It kind of goes down the path of Jack Nicholson in The Shining in a way, right? It's very similar to that. And at the end of it, I was like, you know, my apologies. I never saw that before. And I didn't mean to watch something so violent for like
a date.
Yeah, one of our like few dates that we've had or whatever, you know? She goes, oh no, I loved it. That was great. And I was like, are you serious? Okay, I guess you're a keeper. You know, like, so that was pretty funny though, because she was just like, I don't even know what she thought of it. She must have thought I was insane or so. I don't even know, but she told me it was great. So I'm like, okay, if you think so. And he just had The Irishman, so I guess he's somewhat current. So you saw The Irishman.
I did see The Irishman. But, you know, you watch Irishman and you watch Hugo, you watch Goodfellas, and I think, you know, The Irishman, I just needed a little more editing. I think we both said that, right? It just needed a little tighter.
Yeah, it's just, I think it went on a little bit long. But Hugo, I'm going to check out Hugo, because I haven't, and it's a kid's movie.
Yeah, you know, there are moments of peril, but yeah, no, it is accessible. I would check check it out on Common Sense Media. I'll send you the link of Common Sense Media for it for the boys. But I guess if they're watching Clone Wars, I mean, then there's nothing in this that's going to be worse than that. It is a fantasy movie, so I don't know. You might have to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, fantasy horror and real horror are different kinds of horror, I think. When you have an alien who's getting, like, his green guts blasted out versus, like, red guts, like, that's a very different kind of guts.
Some people say that this automaton, this silver mechanical boy that draws things, it's a little creepy, you know what I mean? Because he's got clockworks all inside of him and stuff, you know, gears and all these things. And he looks like a silver boy, like a Tin Man or something. So that was kind of creepy, scary, but there's nothing scary. You know, in the end, it's all very sweet. So that'd be great. I'd love to hear what the boys think of it and what you think of it.
I think the boys will be okay with that. Yeah, because like the Willoughbys, you know, I mean, if it's something along...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's less than the Willoughbys.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be okay.
Oh, let me tell you two quick things. So your beer has opened up considerably.
Oh, that's a good thing. How did it finish? I guess I should ask you, since it's my beer.
So it finished and it has a little bit more of an alcohol taste to it. And I think maybe that's just part of the characteristics of the porter and it's losing the effervescence. But it definitely has a broader, it got heavier throughout the temperature rising, you know? So it's enjoyable at the start and then it's a different beer at the finish, but it was a great bottle to start with. So thank you.
Well, hey, I'm glad you like my homebrew, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Next week we'll have another one.
Yeah.
But one other thing before we wrap up. I will say that I have unsubscribed. I've unsubscribed from Quibi. So I did the free Quibi trial.
Oh, Quibi, yes.
And then we were talking about all the things that I was trying to unsubscribe from. And I was like, ooh, I forgot that I did Quibi, you know, these zombie accounts. Let me unsubscribe right now. And you unsubscribe and it says, all right, you'll have this until... And I'm really... You know, apparently from all industry standards, they're saying that this is like a complete disaster, you know, a lot of infighting supposedly on this. And they're trying to look to sell to like another streaming service so they can get some of these content in. But the interesting thing, I was listening to one of the business podcasts, one of the Kara Swisher podcasts that I listened to. And she was saying that all of the content that creators put onto Quibi all reverts back to the creators after 4 years. So I was like, so you don't even get to own the stuff. I mean, part of the Netflix, you know, the reason that they're producing the Martin Scorsese film is so that they own it forever. But basically, Quibi was just a licensing deal to attract higher-end talent. So if you have a licensing deal for 4 years, how are you going to sustain kind of the longevity of something that's such a big project? So
then somebody takes their licensing and then says like, oh, Quibi folded, but hey, I could take my thing and go sell to Netflix.
Yeah, in 4 years you could take it, but if it folds, then you could sell it earlier. But I think they're trying to package themselves up and sell it to whomever, Warner Brothers streaming or something, Peacock streaming. You know, so one of the streaming services that's up and coming or still hasn't released, you know, it might be attractive for them to start with a bucket of content like this.
So they're in it for it's kind of like you start an app with the intent to sell it off, not with the intent to make it good.
I think they intended to make it good. But Kara Swisher was joking. She goes, you can't have all these people that are of a certain age think that they're going to sell this to millennials and Gen Zs. But if you're 50 and over and you think you know how to produce content for them, that you don't. You know what I mean? Like she says, I'm a parent of teenage boys. I can't figure out what they want to watch or why they want to watch it. And how are you going to compete against YouTube and what's the TikTok? So it's like, you know, these kids like Gen Z spending 90 minutes a day on YouTube and 90 minutes a day on TikTok at the same time. So that's like, how are you cutting into that time? You know? So I think all the warning signs that we were talking about and we were worried about, they have come to fruition, and I don't see them living out as long as they're gonna.
Interesting. So yeah, well, hey, I'm glad you're saving yourself $7.99 a month or whatever it was.
There you go.
You got more money for Handy Market.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't need Handy Market for the next 3 weeks.
Too funny. That's it, man. Well, no, the next 2 weeks, because today was, yeah. Yeah, so. But no, hey, I'm glad you got to enjoy the beer. I think we have a couple more good ones in store. And yeah, so we'll talk to you next week and enjoy finishing the last of your
New World Porter. Thank you. Talk to you later.
All right, Ted. We'll talk to you.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.